Recently, I had a conversation with a friend of mine. He told me that they were planning on giving up their phone. He was just going to turn it in and go without. For a brief moment, I envied my friend and envisioned what life would be like without a phone. No spam phone calls. No pacifier for those quiet moments, just living on the edge, driving around with no safety net, no longer being available at an instant's notice. I thought of the glory days when you had to carry a pager, or not even that, just being incommunicado, as they say. Then reality set in. But I understood their frustration. The never-ending stream of spam phone calls. How do they get your number anyway? How do they know your business credit score on a business that you closed 10 years ago? And why would they want to offer you $500,000 in credit? That's what I haven't figured out. And no, I don't want to sell my house. And yes, I do need new windows, but I'm not going to tell them that. So I do understand their frustration. Thankfully, most of us have this thing on our phones that identifies those annoying phone calls as spam. But the phone still rings. There is still that distraction, the breaking of our concentration, and they leave a message that many times you still have to go through and delete. It makes me short-tempered. Just ask that pest control guy that rang my doorbell at 8:45 p.m. one day last week. But that's a different story. This constant barrage of pesky phone calls and scam artists ruin it for people that really are worthy of our attention. On Tuesday, the phone rang, a local number that I thought I recognized. It turned out it was the local fire department wanting to sell me tickets to their concert as a fundraiser. Now, I had bought tickets to their fundraisers for many years in the past, but I've never actually gone. I've given them away or I just considered it as a donation, but I never actually went myself. And it wasn't until this year that I actually declined buying the tickets. And it wasn't until just a couple days ago when I started doing prep for this sermon that I stopped and I considered why I made that change. Could it be the constant pressure from the telemarketers is making us ill-tempered? Making me ill-tempered? Or maybe it's the constant demand that we're always under. It seems like there's been a change in society where people are learning to work the system and live off of others. I do know that the number of people who have shown up at church lately in crisis mode sure seems to have increased. It makes me wary. It makes me uneasy. You wonder how much of what they tell you can be the truth, because it's like the worst country song ever. But sometimes you just have to stop and ask yourself, would you rather be the one who is able to help or the one that needs to ask for help? That helps us put things in perspective. That thought changes our attitude. It is indeed a privilege for us to be able to help others in the name of Jesus Christ. Because when we stand before God, when we are the ones asking for help, we are the beggars. We are the ones in crisis. We are the ones who have nothing to offer. All we can do is stand or kneel before God and be the beggars that we are. This was the sentiment in Luther's parting words on his deathbed. We are beggars. This is true. That was also the situation of the mother in our text for today. She was a Canaanite, a descendant of the nation that the people of Israel were to destroy when they conquered the promised land. Yet she calls Jesus Lord three times, the same words that the disciple calls him, and even addresses Jesus as the Son of David. Her words acknowledge her belief that Jesus is the Messiah, and she begs him to have mercy on her and heal her child. She is like what most parents would be, desperate and convinced that Jesus could help her. She is willing to do anything to get help for a child, including being persistent in her pleas. Yet Jesus ignores her, doesn't answer her, turns a cold shoulder, a blind eye. The disciples get so sick of her whining and her pleading that they just can't take it anymore. So they start begging Jesus themselves. They say, "Jesus, send her away, for she is crying out even after us." But she's not one of the chosen, not one of God's precious house of Israel. "Jesus was not sent for her," was his curious reply. Undaunted, she continues to beg. Kneeling in front of him, the woman pleads, "Lord, help me." Jesus responds with an even more curious statement. "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." If I had just been called a dog, I'd be a little miffed, wouldn't you? But not this woman. She sees a glimmer of hope. She agrees with Jesus. "Yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." The crumbs are exactly what she wants. I've seen my kids and now my grandkids. When they eat, you could feed a small army with what's left on the floor. That Canaanite woman understood, really understood, who Jesus is. She understood that Jesus was there for the people of Israel to be the Son of David. She knew she had no standing, no right, no claim, no heritage, no lineage. Just the opposite. But she trusted, she had faith that the Messiah was merciful. All she wanted, all she needed was just a crumb from the master's table. So Jesus answers her, "Oh woman, great is your faith. Here is your crumb. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. We have a lot in common with that Canaanite woman. We have no standing, no right, no claim, no heritage, no lineage. Just the opposite. We cannot solve our problem. We cannot get ourselves out of our predicament. We cannot free ourselves from the grasp of Satan. We cannot stop his torments. We cannot get rid of our sins. We cannot get ourselves to heaven. And when we beg of God, he should, by every right, answer us in silence. We don't deserve an answer. We are sinners. We deserve nothing from the master's table. But we beg of a God who is merciful. The Canaanite woman cries, "Have mercy on me." She trusts that the Messiah is merciful. And she is right. She begs the right person. There's no point in begging the one who will not have mercy. So she begs for Jesus' mercy. And so do we. We beg the Son of David to have mercy on us, and he does. He went to the cross. He suffered hell to take away those sins that make us so undeserving. We plead to a merciful God. Our God is a God of grace, a God whose greatest quality is love, a God who is willing to die for us. And we plead to a Lord who is able to help us. The woman of our text comes and kneels before Jesus saying, "Lord, help me." She knows Jesus is able to grant her request. We know that God not only hears our prayers, our pleas, but is also able to help us. He is a God of power. He is a God of might. He is a God who hears our prayers and who answers them. He hears your prayers when you cry, "Lord, help me." We can take comfort in this. We can take comfort that in when we beg to a Messiah that has unending crumbs, crumbs continually fall to us, enough to feed an army, like I mentioned earlier. And all we really need is that crumb. And it's not because we're not that bad, but because every crumb is that powerful. Every crumb contains the mercy and grace of God. Every crumb heals. Every crumb satisfies. Every crumb forgives. These are the crumbs that fall to us. They are abundant. They are never ending. They feed lost sheep and lost dogs. They feed me. They feed you. Luther once said that he wished that he could have the same devotion in his prayer life that his dog had when he watched the meat on the supper table. All the dog's thoughts were concentrated on that piece of meat. The dog otherwise had not thought, wish, or hope. All Luther's puppy was waiting for was a crumb or a morsel from his master's table. We should have that same devotion, that same single-mindedness. We have a Savior that gives us everything, who gave his life on the cross. He paid for our sins. He took our punishment. He redeemed our souls. He heals our wounds. The bread that falls from the table into our mouths is his body. The blood that flows from the cross to the chalice to our lips is his blood. We are blessed by the abundant crumbs that come cascading from our master's table. Our Savior gives us everything in those crumbs. And we have plenty of crumbs to share with the world. God desires to feed the world with the bread of life. He wants us to feed every lost and hungry sheep and dog, every demon-oppressed soul, every mother who is begging for mercy. So he gives us crumbs, abundant crumbs, so that we can take them to our neighbor and we can share them with the world. He is a God of unending crumbs. Share some of those crumbs with your neighbor, to the glory of his holy name. Amen.